welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. I can't say this often enough, but one of the things I used to say that really I think helps place context to this, folks, out, you know, I mean, just however long you've lived, I know there's a wide variety of ages and age groups that listen to the show. And regardless of how long you've lived, I mean, you know, most kids that are in their 20s that are listening to this show, they don't have a lot of context of this because their view of government has been an unlimited powered government. I mean, Obamacare has been well passed and it's been accepted. And I'm using air quotes here. It's been accepted as a norm of our society when it is unconstitutional tyranny. And so look at the magnitude. Again, this is why I love picking on the John Birch Society. They've been around since the 50s. They formed as an organization with the sole mission of stopping the growth of communism in America. So the question is, for an organization that's been out there fighting them, you think that we would at least be, you know, if you're learning from your mistakes, then you would be able to overpower this enemy. And for some reason, look at this. I mean, our government is fully ensconced in socialism and communism. I mean, socialized medicine. Come on. That is so unconstitutional. The federal government being involved in education, the environment, you know, land ownership. There's no limit. There is no limit to what the federal government believes it can do, other than the fact that the Constitution is delegated only very specific things. And so today's Feedback Friday, so we're going to dive into a few different topics, but more importantly, what I hope to get into quickly for any new listener, what you can expect out of this show. This is not an entertainment show, so if you're dialing in to find out what my opinion is on some of the bank crashes and, you know, the train derailments and you know, the balloons and whatever the problem du jour is, all I'm telling you is it's not getting any better. It's only going to keep getting worse. And that is a fact. If you look at how government was through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the teens, and now the 20s. Folks, is it getting better? It's getting rampantly worse, exponentially worse. So what makes you think that by voting Trump into office, it's going to solve our problem? He did nothing to peel back all of the tyranny we're living under. There's not one person running for president that's capable of doing it. And they won't do it. Now, if you vote for me for president, I would actually get the states to do their job because only the states can do this. The states have to. You know, all caps, I'm yelling. The states are the only entity that can force the federal government into full compliance. This is why we go through this curriculum. This is why we're going through the ratification debates, so that you understand how the states have defined the limited powers of the federal government and what every line in that Constitution means. This show is to educate and empower and invigorate you. We've got lots of different groups in lots of different states that are starting to get organized. You can either get involved by getting organized yourself in your own county if there's nothing going on. If we have an organization that we can point you to or connect you with, then we'll absolutely do that. I got a phone call. I got a phone call this past week from the gal's name is Cynthia, and she's out of San Francisco. And she's actually a trained doctor. I'll give you some information on that. But, you know, as I get these phone calls, I will share them. I didn't necessarily. So Cynthia's kind of a common name, kind of. And so I actually didn't get her permission. I did mention I was going to talk about our conversation. But, you know, being Feedback Friday, I want you to know I get phone calls all the time. I get either emails or what have you. And for the most part, I respond. I will call you back. I will get engaged with you. And what we'll do is we'll see what we can do to help you. But bottom line, the whole process is wrapped around First Amendment petitions. And that's how you take back your local government. This is the only way. And you know, if you live in a communist bastion like San Francisco, I don't want to say, you know, surrender. I'll tell you, get the heck out of there. You know, there are places that have lost so much ground that it's at this point in time, your best hope, if you're living in a dark blue city, a dark blue state, your best hope is supporting and throwing money at the few people in South Dakota with the Citizens for Liberty, with the Wyoming Constitutionalists. Help these organizations do what they need to do. Because if we can get these states to actually stand up, they're what's going to save you. It will be the dark red states that will anchor themselves and save the rest of the union. America will be saved by the flyover states. I don't know how profound you see this, but this is probably the most profound thing that anybody can imagine. We're talking about the least populated states taking a stand and saving all of the states, even the most populated states, by getting the federal government back into check. Because how many states are flyover states? The majority of them, right? Everybody just goes from one coast to the next. Because what's the percentage? I mean, worldwide, it's 75%. 75% of the world's population, if not more now, lives within 250 miles of the coastline. Well, I can tell you, Washington State is 300 miles wide. Oregon is about the same, and California is about the same. And if you look at the eastern seaboard, it's about the same over there, too. Yeah, we do have big population centers like Chicago, but then again, Chicago is next to the Great Lakes. Detroit, next to the Great Lakes. So, you know, they can, you know, it's, there's still kind of access to, you know, transshipment points and so forth. But anyway, fact is, folks, every time I have been watching government grow in its powers unconstitutionally, and I've watched this train wreck go crazy. And I'm here to tell you, and I've back in the late 90s, early 2000s, that's what I called it. I actually had a graphic when we were looking at all of the work that we had to do in deploying our systems for the government. This is back when I was, you know, an engineering manager and a lead and so forth. And I actually, when I was dealing with management, I used an image of what we called a train wreck, because there were all of these different concurrent activities all meeting at the station at once. In other words, when you got all trains coming in on all tracks descending upon that station all at once, there's just no way the train station can handle that. And so we're looking at this huge train wreck. Well, it's getting worse and worse. And, you know, people go, well, how much more can we sustain? There's only certain things that get the dominoes to fall. And actually, bank failures is one of those key things. You know, if the crisis that happens and the way things will play out, there could be a financial meltdown between now and the next election. And I wouldn't put it past them to say, well, we're not going to have an election. It's not for the federal government to say that. The federal government cannot stop the 2024 election or the 2023 election for, you know, special elections in the state. Do not let your state government let the federal government run roughshod over them. I want to get that right because I was taught that I was using the wrong pronunciation of that, which I appreciate. I mean, you know, I hate repeating and sounding stupid if, you know, I'm mispronouncing something. So anyway, I'm okay with corrections, folks. I mean, if I'm getting it wrong, help me out. Anyway, the point of fact is that it will be a crisis that they will use as a need for assuming emergency power. And it will be a crisis that they're going to try. And as a matter of fact, folks, in South Dakota, if you didn't hear regarding the digital currency, Governor Noem did the right thing. She vetoed it. And for the most part, even though the state legislature passed it with 2/3, you know, vote in both houses, it seems veto-proof. Well, I don't believe, now that everybody looks at this and now that everybody kind of realized what they just got involved in, I don't believe that they're going to be able to muster the votes necessary to overpower the governor's veto of that bill. And so I'll tell you what, they've sure dodged a bullet, and they dodged a lawsuit because there was a lawyer in South Dakota that the plan was to actually sue everybody that voted for and pushed that bill. That bill was a direct violation of the Constitution. Any lawmaker that was associated in voting for that bill to pass and that bill to move forward, anybody associated with that has violated their oath. In South Dakota, it's in the state constitution that if you violate your oath while in office, you are removed, banned, and can never. They support, it's the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment has been galvanized in their constitution. You must support the Constitution. Folks, we'll be right back after this promo. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me kind of cover, because we don't cover the obligatories anymore because it's just really trying to get through the content. I think that content is king, and I believe that reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree, and getting most of the information into your hands is critical. The only way you can become empowered is having a profound understanding. And as a matter of fact, folks, you know, people that we're working with, those are those who have had profound understandings to go, you know what, I completely get it, and this is what we have to be doing. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And when you really, everybody comes to the same conclusion that we need to initiate republic review by the states. That is the process of getting the federal government into compliance, period. That's what we have to be doing. So anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We are not. I am not an entertainer. And as a matter of fact, I hope you enjoy having Paul Venable. We're going to have him on again this coming week to talk more about the ratification debates. And I think it's important to add, as a matter of fact, there are other people that, you know, I've sent the invitation to. We're more than happy to accommodate if anybody wants to, you know, accommodate and read, you know, those of you who I'm working with, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome to call and say, hey, yeah, let's do this. Anyway, anywho, as I told you, you know, I had a conversation with a person. Actually, let me go do a final follow-up, because while I was sick, I aired an old interview I had with Dr. John R. Vile of Middle Tennessee University. Now, if you have not looked this man up, go look him up and look at all of the books this man has written and the context. These are textbooks that this man has written. He is very educated regarding the history, regarding the Constitution, and really when it comes down to it, he knows. He knows that Republic Review will actually solve the problem. Now, I want you to understand something. If you're in a position where you are, and you don't even realize this, but you know deep down that your whole livelihood, let's say you're a preacher, let's say, you know, you're, you know, a dean at a college, and you know that your lifeblood is coming from the problem, coming from the government, right? Or coming from, you know, people who are paying, because, I mean, people want to know how is Christianity being co-opted to supporting homosexual marriage? How is it that they got there, understanding that this is a biblical sin? Because money. When you're doing this for a living and you realize you have to make money, and there's people in your church that come in and say, hey, you know, we want to give you a lot of money, but you're not preaching to this the song we want to hear. We want you to, you know, to basically support this homosexual marriage. We need to hear that. Folks, tantamount, that is tantamount to the old adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so when you are a dean of a college and you teach constitutional history and you pride yourself in teaching the correct, you know, things, you know, like maybe Hillsdale College. Now, Hillsdale College supposedly has these separations between, you know, the corrupt state and what have you. They're privately funded or what have you. But isn't it interesting? Hillsdale College fails to identify all of the constitutional violations. They don't go out of the way to prove and teach people that the Department of Education is an unconstitutional executive department. They don't do that. Why? Because they would have to deal with the scrutiny of the federal government to say, how dare you teach that? In other words, they, you know, there's this old adage that you can know who your enemy is when you understand who you cannot get away with criticizing, because that's how you find out who your real enemy is and who has power over you. And so with Dr. Vile, good old, I have the utmost respect for the man, because at least he understands that if there's something that he needed to do to support, because it took me, you know, I don't know, seven, eight, segments to finally get him to make a choice. What would you support? Would you support Republic Review or what? What would you do? And he said he would support a convention of states. And that's because the convention of states would not end his gravy train funding from the federal government. He knows that the convention of states is inept in solving the problem. He understands that, you know, the people driving it would never be able to turn off that spigot. Only Republic Review can do that, because only when you place full context to the compact and what powers they have, and then understanding that the only way they can have a Department of Transportation, a health department, a Department of Energy, FCC, all of the things that the federal government is doing that they have no constitutional ability to do. Well, all of a sudden, when you realize you got to amend the Constitution to give them that power, it only takes, folks, it only takes 13 states to say no. And I'm telling you, it's easy to get 13 states to say no. And I'm here to tell you that there's no way we would have a Department of Transportation. As a matter of fact, when you put it all on the table, because if you just follow the money, just follow the money. Where does the federal government get their money? Where do they actually get money from? They create their own money that they have no power to do. If the states step in and they actually hold the federal government fully accountable, they wipe out that debt because they can tell the federal government that they had no authority to assume that debt is illegitimate, that the people, you know, the secretaries of the Treasury, the presidents, and the people in Congress that supported that will have to answer to China and the rest of these nations who they colluded with in creating that debt. America and the American people are not accountable to it. Folks, I am not kidding, and we're going to get into the ratification debates, and we're going to prove this. And as a matter of fact, one of the most powerful ratification debate citations out there is by George Nicholas. Because what is a debt agreement? It is a treaty. It is a compact. It is a contract between two parties that say, I'm going to give you money to do these things. Listen to this. This is what George Nicholas said. The worthy member says that they can make a treaty or they can go into a contract relinquishing our rights and inflicting punishments because all treaties declared paramount to the constitutions and laws of the states. An attentive consideration of this will show the committee that they can do no such thing. The provision of the sixth article, the supremacy clause, is that this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, in pursuant to the Constitution, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States. So in other words, if they're going to make a treaty, it has to be under their authority. Do they have the authority to take on money to spend on healthcare, on energy, on environment, on social programs, on COVID vaccinations? No, 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 no. They have no authority to do any of those things. So they can't enter into any type of debt to do something that they have no authority. As he says clearly, which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. That's exactly what the Constitution says, folks. So in other words, then Nicholas says this, then they can by this make no treaty which shall be repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution or inconsistent with the delegated powers. If they don't have the power to do it, to spend the money on it, they can't take the debt. I am telling you, folks, legally, the federal government has no ability to assume debt for anything that is not within the Constitution. And so, therefore, now let's get back to what's on the table here. What's on the table? Well, if you look at what they're doing and they have no authority to do 90% of what they're doing and the money that they're spending, that's all defrauding the American people. Here's a reality check. There's lots of people that are in bureaucracies of the federal government that are coming point in time, and there's many people collecting retirement from the federal government of doing tyrannical powers. In other words, people who have retired as a part of the Department of Education, people who have retired from the Department of Transportation, people who have retired from the Department of Labor. All of these departments and everybody that's collecting a pension has no right to that pension. They've all been defrauded. That's the mess that the federal government has created, that the states are obligated to fix. So I'm here to tell you that if all of a sudden everything was on the table, and we had all of the states actually doing their job, standing there looking and going, huh, and somebody comes along, let's say California, New York, some of the dark blue states kind of say, hey, we need to legitimize these things because we need to keep these things going. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, there's going to be far more than 13 states that are going to stand up and say, are you kidding me? As we see what they've done with the Department of Education and how they've perverted our children, as they've used these things as weapons and have committed warfare against us, you want to legitimize this crap? Are you kidding? We'll be right back. It's a perfect segue into a promo. We'll be right back after this promo. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I know that some of the stuff you're hearing me say seems really outlandish and almost like hyperbole or, you know, entertainment. It may be entertaining, but it's not. These are the facts, folks, and this is exactly how the Constitution was framed by the framers. What we've been taught and what we've been learning has been all a part of the fabricated lie in getting government to be able to assume more and more and more unconstitutional powers. And the federal government cannot, this all started with this one little blurb I said two segments ago. The federal government does not have the authority to say we can't have, the states cannot have their elections, that the state cannot choose, the states cannot choose their president. As a matter of fact, if there's a reason why the Electoral College cannot be formed, then the duty goes, it is not just granted to the president. I want everybody to understand the 12th Amendment. God has given us everything to save us from these fools. The 12th Amendment demands that the House of Representatives will choose the president by delegation. In other words, the state's representatives will all go and they'll convene into their own state delegations and they will choose who will be president. Out of those that would be qualified as electors or what have you. Now, see, there are qualification standards. Now, Kamala Harris is not qualified to be the president, nor should she ever have been the vice president. Just like Obama should not have been president. He was not qualified because both of his parents were not U.S. citizens. And the question is, where was he born? I mean, there were too many questions. He should never have been passed by Congress. It was Congress's duty to make sure that the qualifications and the standards are being checked. They've been abdicating their responsibility, and they're using their incompetence with malfeasance. Anyway, so if we get to a point where the Electoral College can't, Congress, the House of Representatives chooses the president and the Senate chooses the vice president. And I'm here to tell you, folks, based on the 2022 election with the House going to the Republicans, it is, and if you look at how many states are red, we will have a Republican president if they try to play that shenanigan that they shut down the Electoral College. Or if the Electoral College is not fixed, folks, right now, the way the states have empowered the choosing of the electors process, many of the states, like I don't know if Wyoming has undone what Governor Gordon and the Secretary of State or whomever was involved. And if you go to our website, we actually showed you all 31 states of what they did. And so if we don't have enough states that actually change their laws, because the only way the process of choosing your electors can be determined, the only entity that can determine how we choose our electors are your state legislators. In 2020, the governors, jurists, and secretaries of state and others have decided how they were, because remember, your legislators were sent home. They basically declared an emergency and gave the powers to the governor. Well, the governor has no authority to change how you choose your electors. That can only be done by state legislators. No emergency powers can grant the governor powers that are actually stipulated in the U.S. Constitution. You can't use emergency powers to violate the Constitution. So this is what I'm here to tell you, that if any of these states have not fixed those laws, in other words, the state legislature hasn't taken back and determined how the electors are to be chosen for the 2024 election, and we still have these 31 states with the bad, unconstitutional choosing laws of how you're going to choose your electors because the governors did it, then every single one of those states will be forming an unconstitutional electoral college. And then when the Electoral College will form, there will not be a majority that can choose the president. This has to be fixed. Has it been fixed? I'm confident that it hasn't. Nobody has touched it. I haven't heard any state. There may be one or two states that have stepped in and have kind of taken back some of their election laws, but not all of these 31 states have done that. So the question is, What are we going to do? And how's it going to happen? But the fact is, the crap is going to happen, folks. The feces are going to hit the fan. And so as the feces start to fling everywhere, what are you going to do? You better You better be getting engaged with your county commissioners now, and you need to get them to become champions of the Constitution now, because when it comes time to get up to that state house and get your state legislators, you know, the other thing that just absolutely infuriates me is we're in the midst of a constitutional crisis and have been so for several years, since 9/11, since Clinton. Since George H.W. Bush, we've been in a constitutional crisis. When George Bush brought the Agenda 21 into America, he put us into a constitutional crisis. I mean, there's been a constitutional crisis for a long, 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 long time. But when he started invoking and actually getting behind unconstitutional laws and bureaucracies and so forth, we have been in the throes of a real crisis and an emergency. And to me, I'm fit to be tied, folks. I am so frustrated and infuriated with the fact that not one state legislature has declared a constitutional emergency. They need to be the ones forming and actually dealing with what the heck's going on with Mordor on the Potomac. By the way, that's Washington, D.C., or at least that's what Mike Church, a conservative entertainer out of Louisiana, that's what he called them. And I just, you know, want to give him credit for, you know, his pithy, entertaining perspective, because that's what it is. It's a very evil place now. And so as we start looking at, you know, all of the crap that's going to be hitting the fans, folks, you need to actually start waking up your county commissioners, because the only people that will actually get your state legislators' attention besides you is your county commissioners. And you need to actually have your county commissioners and your county district attorneys or prosecuting attorneys, whatever you want to call them, within your county. Whoever is the top cop, not your sheriff, but whoever is the prosecutor, you need them to actually, you know, create warrants to call back your state legislators back to your counties, your state senators back to your counties, and have them charged if they're going to fail to support the Constitution. If you need to, your county commissioners should be using a grand jury. And as a matter of fact, that's the best way to do this, is to have your county commissioners form a grand jury that then can then deliver an indictment on your state legislators. And that way, because the Fifth Amendment demands that there has to be an indictment before charges can be brought. And once you've got the indictments coming out of your county grand juries, now you can literally start replacing these people with constitutionalists that will get into your state and actually do their job. The question is, and the thing that scares me, is we're not at a point where we have enough people to know what to do. And I can't do it. One person can't be in every state legislature, can't be in every county. I need you and your county to do these things. This is why we're going to start having these national calls. Now, I was hoping to do it this week, but I have family in town. And I don't want to make it sound like that's a terrible thing, because it's great to have family. And it's not often when you get family to come visit and so forth, and got grandkids. And so it's nice having, you know, to get a little bit of a break and not have to worry. So we'll see if we're ready for prime time for this coming week, but I'm okay with delaying one more week. I just want to make sure that we have everybody ready and everybody to, you know, make the most, because I want to keep these things to 1 hour, and I want to make sure that everybody understands what, you know, expectations are, who's going to be saying what and doing what and so forth and so forth. Anyway, what I haven't done is I haven't talked a little bit about Cynthia. And it's fascinating as I get to know people, because everybody's got a story. And so Cynthia, who's called me, and so we've kind of talked. And what I want to do is I want to help you understand, you know, that if you do call, I will call you back. If you call, I'll be able to, you know, help you and point you in the right direction. You know, I get it. Life can, you know, push us, you know, the ebb and flow, the flotsam and jetsam, the, you know, the things that kind of just influence the directions of which ways we go and so forth. Anyway, what we want to do is I want to kind of explain to you, you know, who Cynthia is, and actually talk a little bit about her background and what she's offering. And anyway, it's nice to hear, you know, people coming to the epiphany and understanding. You know, I'll give you the background after this promo. We'll be right back after this.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so Cynthia, who I talked to earlier this week, she's actually a medical school graduate from in 1980. So in other words, she's probably my age, or she's close. And so she graduated from the University of Texas Medical Branch, and she completed her residency in 1985. So in other words, she actually became a doctor, and she opened up a medical care type of medicine, which was a walk-in minor emergency type of medical practice clinic that she created. And she also did a general family medicine type of practice in Texas for about 15 years. Well, while she was doing that, and she actually had some other rural practices and so forth, and picked up some other skills and so forth. Well, she started altering her practice patterns in 95 by including vitamins and homeopathic type of processes, because at this point in time, she realized that the pharmaceutical industry was corrupt. And so as she, you know, ended up having and needing medical care, she actually realized that she was being mistreated or improperly diagnosed by her doctors, who were actually pushing pharmaceutical products that caused her harm. And so anyway, there's a lot of personal information I just don't want to get into, but she ended up losing her practice and no longer operating, functioning as a practicing doctor. And obviously she's moved from Texas and she's in California. And she offers, you know, some homeopathic and some I'll just say natural medicine, alternative type of medical practice. She has some recommendations and so forth. And she realizes that, you know, the Patriot movement has been, you know, is being abused by the medical industry because they're creating vaccinations and they're creating things that actually do us harm. And so there's some really some interesting things that she can talk about. And she sent me some of this information, such as some things that can actually help regenerate new tissue. And some of it, because she was talking about, you know, because she was aware of my lung disease and so forth. And so she was saying, you know, there's some things she would recommend that I look into. And I'm going, well, this is just awesome. I mean, you know, anybody that can improve your quality of life, you know, and put you on a path that, you know, has a, you know, a good, or, you know, can set some decent expectations. I mean, you know, that you have hope, right? I mean, it's nice to have hope that you can overcome some of these problems. But anyway, so I'm planning on diving into this down the road. Right now, because we're focused on the ratification debates, this content is king. But what I'm going to do is I'll probably call, and we'll probably, between her and I, we'll talk about, because I know there's lots of people that need to get involved, or, you know, to go out, because I know people personally that are getting, you know, doctor prescriptions over these international doctors online and what have you, and getting prescriptions for ivermectin and, you know, the HQL or whatever, the hydrochloroquine or whatever, that, you know, helps with COVID. I know lots of people that have gone down that path because they, and to just avoid the jab and to avoid getting seriously sick. And everybody that I know that have gone down that path has successfully, you know, been able to skirt COVID. Now, I'm going to share this with you because I think when you see God's hand in your life, I think it's important that you kind of help people understand. And I'm not saying that I'm special in any way, but I believe I've been blessed once again, because this flu that I had, I still have not completely restored my sense of smell and taste. And this flu that I had, it was different. But the interesting thing is, it did not really attack my respiratory system. It attacked my sinuses, and it attacked my sense of taste and my sense of smell and so forth. And so when I've talked to people, they say, it sounds like you actually had COVID. You didn't have a flu, you had COVID. And some people say, well, what's the difference? They're both viruses and what have you. The fact is this, that if this was COVID, and because having a lung disease, if it would have affected my respiratory system, most everybody I know that have had COVID, you know, really did have, you know, struggling and, you know, getting their air and so forth, because it just created this tremendous challenge. And I can only thank the Lord that if this was really COVID, he blessed me that I didn't necessarily suffer on the respiratory side. I can't explain it any other way. The fact of the matter is that, you know, I can't smell. I'm starting to get my smell back now. It's been about 3 weeks now. And, you know, sometimes I can smell the candles, but there's, you know, I'm not being offended by dog farts and stuff like that. That, you know, because we have bulldogs, and forgive me for speaking frankly like this, but I, you know, for the past month, I've been able to enjoy, you know, an odor-free house. Anyway, forgive me. I didn't mean to take it into the gutter. But bottom line, Cynthia, I think can offer some really good advice, and maybe we can get a link so that people can, you know, if necessary, get in contact with her. She wants to help. She wants to help people, and she wants to help patriots live long and have a quality of life, and she wants to get involved. And so, but she has her limitations because she has been disabled or she has been adversely affected by the pharmaceutical companies with heavy metals and other things. And so I'm here to tell you folks that this has all been, and as a matter of fact, when I start looking at it, when we look at what the pharmaceutical companies have kind of been involved in, along with the food companies, you know, the fact that high fructose corn syrup got injected into our American society in the 60s, you know, Europe basically stepped up and said, no. But America has been under attack by corporations in a lot of ways that, you know, people don't even realize. So like the baby formula, I think I've mentioned this before, that they started, as soon as they could get the mothers out of the home and, you know, forcing a two-income family by the 50s and 60s and taking us down that path, then I'm going, you know, wow. I mean, you know, the fact that they started putting babies on soy milk, you know, and in talking to this Cynthia, she basically said, absolutely, you're right. It effeminated the young men of America. So if you're wondering where the real men are, you know, the fact that if we have men out, you know, that have been born in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or, you know, that have been the, we'll call them the formula babies, then if they're men, you know, with actual testosterone, alpha men, males, you know, that are, you know, not afraid and they're going to stand up and be heroes, what have you, they're outliers. Because the metrosexual and our diet by using soy formula has had an adverse effect on the gender roles in our society. They have been undermining us. And the fact is, this was a part of the plan. They knew what this would do. And they know, as they, this is how they've been manipulating us to so many different degrees that it's just, folks, it ain't getting any better. It's now or never. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have kids, and we need to have kids, and we need to have good, healthy kids, we got to start. We've got to start looking at repopulating, because it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better until we start doing something about it. And so we actually have to change our ways. And with many of us, we're not of the generation to do that. But we have to use our wisdom and our influence with the younger generations to help them understand what must be done to put us back on the path of enlightenment. Because that's really what America has missed. We have stopped using common sense. We've stopped using common law. We've stopped using the laws of nature, nature's God. We need to start helping people understand how we can restore the mores of our society. But most important, we have to take back our government to get it out of every facet of our life. It was never designed that way. The government we have is precisely the government our framers and forefathers fought against to protect us from. And everybody knows that. Well, with that, as you know, have a great weekend. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.